trusting that He will give us grace as we go into His Word today. I pray for the Holy Spirit to overtake each and every one of us. And I pray for God to use me to clearly and concisely bring His message. And this is the sixth message that I've drawn from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I believe that everybody who follows Christ can apply these messages to their life. In the church of Ephesus, we see that they were active and discerning, but they had strayed and they were unfaithful to their first love. The church of Smyrna was heavily persecuted, but remained faithful to its first love, Almighty God. The church of Pergamos held fast in faith, but was compromising by allowing sin. And Christ commended Thyatira for their good works, but rebuked them for tolerating sin and the woman who was teaching and leading into sin. And today we're going to look at the church in Sardis that Christ gave only criticism. And it's really hard to bring a positive message out of a critical message, but I'm trusting that the Lord will aid me in doing that. And I'm asking that we would let the Holy Spirit's voice speak to us, and let's choose to receive His guidance, His advice, and His counsel today. And I want us to observe where we are individually in relationship to where our Lord wants us to be. And I pray that we'll respond positively to Christ's message. I want you to hear the word to the church and yield to Him as you look forward to His return. If you will, open your Bible to the third chapter of Revelation. And we're going to read what's written there from verse 1. We're going to read chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And that's where it's written. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I ask that God would guide me in the presentment of His Word, and I also trust that He will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word today. Like the other letters, this letter is written to the angel of the church of Sardis. The angel is the messenger. That's the root word for messenger, is behind that angel word. That's the pastor. He's writing to the pastor of the church, and he's saying, "I want you to deliver this message to the people. These things says Christ, the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." The stars are the pastors of the churches. Christ holds the pastor in his hand, and he controls the pastor. "I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead," he said. He said, "You look like you're alive. People say you're alive. You might even think you're alive, but you're not." That's what he said. This is Jesus talking to the church. He said, "You've got a name that you're alive, but you're not." There's a whole lot that goes into that. You know, as I've been going through this time with my family and Dad's funeral, I realized there are a lot of people who look alive, but they're spiritually dead. And my heart grieved so deeply, I can't even express it in words how deep my heart grieved. But my grief is more for the people who look alive but are dead. And I felt the grieving of Christ as I was preparing this message. I looked at this and I said, "God, how could you time it like this? This is so difficult. It's such a difficult time. I've got to feel this. I've got to know Christ is so brokenhearted over this church." And yet he gives them no commendation. He doesn't say, "Well, I know this is good about you. I know this is all right about you." He says, "No, you look like you're alive, but you're dead. You're dead."
And there's so many people today who are walking on this planet. They look like they're alive, but they're dead. And God's people are called to reach those who look alive but are dead. And you know, the hardest thing for me is that I can't reach those people. I can't reach them. I have no effect. And Christ can't use me there. Could He? I believe He could, but I don't see it happening. And it's so heartbreaking to me. I see Christ speaking to this church saying that, "I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead." Somehow they were doing works. They were doing something. Looked like they were a church that was alive. And He says, "Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." So there were some things that were still alive in that church. There were some things that were still okay in that church. But He said, they're ready to die. This is the path that so many get on when they're walking with Christ. They're walking along looking like they're alive. But spiritually, they're dying. They're not where Christ wants them to be. And this just came so close to home to me, so real to me right now, right here where I'm at in my personal life, that I feel that it's necessary for me to bring it. Be watchful. You know, throughout the Scriptures, the time of Jesus' preaching, He says, "Watch therefore." Watch therefore. There's five passages of Scripture, at least, that I found where Jesus said, "Be watchful. Watch therefore, because I'm going to come. I'm going to come, and you're not going to be ready." And He's not talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to believers. Be watchful. He's talking here to the church. Be watchful, because if you're not, you're not going to know when I'm coming. He said, be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain. There's action in that. How do we strengthen what remains? Prayer. Fellowship with other believers. Worship services like this one, where we gather together and we do what God wants for us to do. And, you know, it's not about our works, as we talk when we share communion. We know it's about the work of Christ. It's what He did. It's not what we do. But He calls us unto good works. He calls us unto things that He wants for us to do. We are to strengthen those things that remain. In the body, there are gifts. And all of us can express our gifts. And that's part of the way that we strengthen the things which remain. They're ready to die, He said, because I've not found your works perfect or complete before God. And I'm not going to go into the whole works thing, because we're not saved by works. We're saved by the work of Christ. But we have to look at that, because Jesus said, "I haven't found your works perfect before God." Search your own heart. Are your works really where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Because the Spirit of God will touch your heart and tell you if you are or if you're not. And Jesus is talking to a church here. He's telling them that they need to do this. Remember, therefore, how you've received and heard. Hold fast and repent. We all know repentance is a change of mind, which leads to a change of heart, a change of action, a change of life. We need to turn from those things. All of us, each and every one of us, need to turn from those things that are outside of the will of God. And the Lord reminded me, prepare. Don't worry about preparing. When you're on trial, don't prepare anything. Just Jesus, what did He do? When He was on trial, what did He do? He kept His mouth shut. He kept His mouth shut. And when the Holy Spirit prompts you to keep your mouth shut, we have to do that. If somebody's beating us up, sometimes we just have to shut our mouth and say nothing, because all it does is add fuel to the fire. I've lived this. So often when God brings a message, He has me go through it. And some of them are really tough. And this has been the toughest one. This has been the toughest one of all the messages that I've ever brought. This has been the toughest one to go through. I'm letting you know I understand what He says here. He loves us. He wants us to be His people. He wants us to turn to Him away from those things that displease Him. That's what He wants. He really does. Not just for the church of Sardis, for the whole church all through history, all through time. If you'll not watch, He said, I will come upon you as a thief, and you won't know what hour I will come upon you. And what's a thief do? Does he announce his coming? hey, Gary, I'm coming to your house tonight. I want to take everything you got. You know, I know you got a nice TV set there. You got a nice radio. I'm going to take those things. I know you're not going to mind it because I'm coming, Gary. The thief doesn't announce when he's coming. The thief comes and he takes. And what's Christ going to take when he comes? He's going to take those faithful souls that have given their lives, have turned to him, have repented, have accepted him, not only as their Savior, but as their Lord, the one who instructs them what to do. Keep his word. That's what he says. If you love me, keep my word. Keep my commandments. Okay? I'll come upon you as a thief, and you won't know what hour I'll come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He said, even though this church was dead, there were still some. There was a remnant. There were still some who were alive. They were worthy, he said. Think about that. There are lots of churches in the world today, and there are lots of people who call themselves followers of Christ, and there are some who really are, and there are many who are not. And we only need to look at the fruit. We only need to look at the way people live their lives to see whether or not they're truly followers of Christ. That's what Jesus says. You have a few names who have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white. They'll be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life. You know, God told Moses that the souls that sin, he will blot from his book of life. Now, I don't remember where it's written, but I know it's there. And if you want to know, I've got it in my notes and I'll share it with you. That's what Jesus says. I won't blot his name. I will not. In the book of life, and I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus is the one who's going to confess us. This one's mine. These are mine. These are my people. These are mine. Think about that. You want to be the one who's of Christ, that he will confess. And he's telling this to this church. He's telling them. He doesn't tell them anything good except there's one thing I skipped over here. And I'm going to go back to it. Or maybe I didn't skip over. Hold fast and repent. Now, I did touch on that. And the reason he tells them to repent is because there's still a chance for revival. There's still a chance. Even though he pronounces death upon this congregation that he's writing to here in Sardis, he says, hold fast and repent to those things because there's still a chance. The implication is that they can still come back to life. And the same is true with every single human being who still has breath in them. God doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. And so we can hold fast to his truth, to his word, and we can call others to repentance. We can bring the word of God to speak into their lives. And Jesus, in his closing, like the other letters to the other churches, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Who's the Spirit? It's the Spirit of Almighty God. It's not my spirit or your spirit or somebody else's spirit. It's the Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to the churches, and not just to those churches. The Holy Spirit speaks to this church also. The Holy Spirit's speaking to this church through His Word. What does the Holy Spirit want for us? What does Almighty God want for this church? We have to be the change that we want to see, folks. If we really want to go into the future as that body of Christ in this location that's doing the work of God, we have to be the change that we want to see. We must, because we're the only ones here. There's nobody else going to do it. It has to be that we say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be who you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. And I'll do all of that to your glory. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to hear what the Spirit says to this church. And through this series of messages, I believe we've all heard the Spirit of God speak into our hearts. Let's listen, but not just hear it. Let's respond. Let's turn to what it is that God wants. And I pray that in Christ's name. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you lead us, you guide us, you direct us, that you bring us along your path,
that we can follow the one who came before. I ask, Father, that you would speak to each of our hearts today as we go home. And let us, Lord, let us be honest in reflecting upon your word, your truth, your will, your way. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.